Okay, so again, we're going to cover 4 points in this year, not necessarily in this order. Hopefully, we'll get through at least two of them today, and then we'll leave two for a few points in the future if there's interest in exploring these issues further. So again, I want to begin with just an insight into the way in which the mitzvah of Simchas Yom Tov is formulated. Then two, I want to discuss why, according to the Rambam, this mitzvah of Simcha applies to Yom Tov, but does not seem to apply to Shabbos. Three, I want to talk about the mitzvahs of Kavod and Onik Shabbos and understand those, and little not to understand specifically how they're different from the mitzvah of Simchas Yom Tov. And then finally, I would like to explore whether the mitzvos of Oneg and Simcha, which apply to Shabbos and Yom Tov, apply in exactly the same way and serve the same function, whether there may be a distinction in the way in which they function, what they accomplish, and the way in which they're formulated. Okay, so let's begin with the first issue, the issue of the formulation in the Rambam of the mitzvah of Simchas Yom Tov. So, of course, the Rambam explains that on Yom Tov, there is a mitzvah of Simcha to rejoice. And then he continues and explains that it differs for each person. So, for example, for men, it's Achilas Basar. And for women, it takes a different form. And this, of course, is found in source number 6 on your handout. And let's take a look at that. So the Rambam explains in source number 6. Which is Perek Vav of Hilchos Yom Tov, Shisus Yom Tov Halacha Yud Zayin. So the Rambam explains Shivas Yemei HaPesach Ushmonas Yemei HaChag Im Shar Yamim Tovim Kulon Asurin Behesped V'Tahanis. So the Rambam says that the 7 days of Pesach, the 8 days of Sukkot, and other Yamim Tovim, on all of them, it is also in Hespet and Tainis, in giving a eulogy and in fasting. V'chayiv Adam Liyos Ben Sameach V'Tov Leiv, and the person is obligated on them to be joyous and to be happy. Hu Uvana V'Ishto Uvenevezo V'Choha Nilvim Alav. He, his children, his wife, his the members of his household, and all those who are dependent upon him, who are with him. Shenemar, as it says, V'samachta b'chagecha, ata uvincha ubitecha, v'abdecha v'almasecha. And you should rejoice on your chag, you, your children, your sons, your daughters, your servants, your maidservants. V'af alpi, let's stop here for a moment. So the Rambam explains that the mitzvah of Simcha, when does it apply? So the Rambam says it applies the way he identifies where it applies is he says Pesach, Sukkos, and other Yamim Tovim. So obviously that includes Shavuos, and it's assumed that the Rambam means to include anything that's a Yom Tov, which would mean even Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippurim. So on all of these, there is a mitzvah of Simcha. So it's not just something that's limited to the regalim, but it applies to all of the Yamim Tovim. Now the Rambam continues, and he says, "Ve'af al pi she'asimcha amura kan hi karban shlamim," and even though the reference in the pasuk when it says "v'samachta bechagecha" refers to offering Shlamim, and we'll see in a moment what he means by that. Kamo she'anu mevarim b'hilchos chagiga, as we explain in Hilchos Chagiga, yesh bichlal osa simcha lismoach hu uvana uvnei veso ko echad ve'echad b'ra'ilo. But nonetheless, included in that simcha is to rejoice, he, his children, the members of his household, each one in the appropriate manner. Now, Let's take a look at that Rambam in Hilchos Chagiga and see what he says. So the Rambam in Hilchos Chagiga in Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph, describes the korbanos that are particularly required, specifically required on the regala. So when you're ole l'regel. So what does he say? So the Rambam says, Shalosh mitzvos asay nitztavu Yisrael b'chol regel mishlosha regal. There are three mitzvos that in which Bnei Yisrael are commanded on each regel. So regel is, as you know, Pesach, Sukkos, and Shavuos. Ve'eluhein, these are what they are. Hari'iyah. So re'iyah, he will explain what that means. It means to appear in Yerushalayim in the Mikdash. But we'll see a little bit more what that means as we go on. Shenem, as it says, Yera'at kol zechorcha. All of your males should appear. Ve'hachagiga. And there's another, second mitzvah is the mitzvah of chagiga. So each one he's going to explain exactly what it is as he goes on. Shenemar tachog l'Hashem elekecha. Tachog, you should celebrate before to Hashem your God. Ve'asimcha shenemar b'samachta b'chagecha. Now, what is exactly required by each of these mitzvahs? Now the Rambam will explain. Hari'iyah amur b'Torah. When the Torah says that we are required to appear in Yerushalayim in the Mikdash, hu sheyareh panav ba'azara yom tov risha rishon shel chag v'yavi imo korban ola be'mina of mina behema. So it's appearing in the Azara of the Mikdash, in the courtyard of the Mikdash, with a korban ola. So you come, you have to be there, and you have to have a korban ola with you to be offered. Mi shibola zar b'yom marishim v'lo evi ola, lo daya shelo asa mitzvah saseh. And if you come and you don't bring the korban ola, so not only have you not fulfilled the positive command, ele she'ovar amitzvah lo saseh, but you violate a low sansa. Shenehamar v'lo yera'u pafanai reikam. That you shouldn't be seen. You shouldn't come empty-handed. So, re'iyah has a positive side, that you have to come with a korban ola. And there's a mitzvah low sansa also attached to it, that you are not allowed to come empty-handed. If you come without the ola, so then you're over a low sansa. Hachagiga ha'amur b'tara u'shiyakur shlamim b'yom tov shelacha. So the mitzvah of chagiga, what does that mean? What does that require exactly? So the Rambam explains, u'shiyakur shlamim b'yom tov rishon shelacha. So it's to bring a korban shlamim. This is called a korban chagiga. K'shiyavo l'heros, when you come to appear in the mikdash. So you need an ola, and you need, ola, and then you need a shlamim, which is a chagiga. Okay, so whatever you do, she'ein shlamim bom elamina behema, and of course, if it's a shlamim, it has to come from a behema. U'shtei mitzvos elu, she'ein ri'iyah ve'achagiga, ein hanashim chayavos behem. And these two, ri'iyah and chagiga, do not apply to women. Women are not obligated to bring a ola, to come to the mikdash with an ola, they're not obligated to come and bring a korban chagiga. Okay, riya chagiga. Now, what's simcha? A simcha amur biragalim. So, what is the simcha? So, listen to the Rambam's formulation. Hu sheyakriv shlamim yaser al shalmei chagiga. That he brings shlamim in addition to his chagiga. So, it means when you bring your chagiga, which is a shlamim, you got to make more shlamim, which is the shalmei simcha. The elue nikrain shalmei simcha, and these additional ones are called shalmei simcha. Shenehamar, as it says, v'zavak the shlamim, that you should slaughter shlamim v'chalta sham, and you should eat them there v'samachta lifnei Hashem elekecha, and you should rejoice before Hashem your God. V'nashim chayavas b'mitzvah zeh, and women are obligated in this mitzvah. So just to review, the Rambam says there are three mitzvahs that are related to korbanos on regel: re'iyah, which is coming to a zara with an ola; chagiga, which is bringing with you another shlamim, right? The korban chagiga, and then finally, along with the chagiga, additional shlamim, or an additional korban shlamim, or at least one additional korban shlamim. The Rambam goes in later on how many each family has to bring according to its resources and its size, and that is called the Shalmei Simcha. Good. So the Rambam's presentation poses a number of problems. First of all, according to the way the Rambam explained again in Hilchos Yom Tov, that the pasuk from which the mitzvah Simcha is derived, or the chiyah from which it's derived, is the offering of korban shlamim. This only applies to regalim. There's no shalmei simcha on Rosh Hashanah, and certainly not on Yom Kippur. Okay, so so it's difficult to understand the Rambam's assertion that the mitzvah of simcha applies is derived from the mitzvah of shalmei simcha, but yet this obligation to rejoice, or Yom Tovim, applies to all Yom Tovim, not just the regalim. If it is part of the mitzvah or included in the mitzvah of offering shalmei simcha, then it should only apply when there's an obligation to bring shalmei simcha. So it should apply to Pesach, Sukkos, Shavuos. But how did it get also attached or applied to Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur? That's my first question. Second question. Okay. The Rambam says that even though the mitzvah is to offer shalmei simcha, but nonetheless, the chlala mitzvah, somehow included in the mitzvah, is rejoicing in other ways. And the Rambam explains each person as is appropriate for him. As I mentioned earlier, for men, it's with basar and yayin; for women, it's other ways, children, another way. How exactly, what is that connection? How is it that the mitzvah of offering shlamim somehow also generates or includes or implies an obligation of rejoicing in a more general sense on Yom Tovim? Three, the Rambam says that when it comes to these three mitzvahs that apply on a regel regarding korban, these three mitzvahs of korbanos, he talks about the rule or the obligation of women. But what he says is very difficult to understand, because he makes two statements that seem to be mutually exclusive. On the one hand, he says that the obligation of shalmei simcha is something that you offer in addition to the chagiga. Now, that would imply that those who have to bring the chagiga have to bring the shalmei simcha as well. But he explains that women are patur from re'iyah, they're patur from chagiga, b'yad dechayiv in simcha. Now, what does that mean? Does it mean they have to bring shalmei simcha even though they don't have to bring a chagiga and an ola? I mean, is that really what the realm holds, that women are obligated to bring shalmei simcha? Is that what he's saying? So you mean when a family comes up to Yerushalayim, so he's not obligated, his wife's not obligated in Re'iyah. She doesn't have to be there altogether. And she doesn't have to bring a korban, she's not even obligated in Re'iyah. Yet she's obligated in shalmei simcha, so she has to what? Send somebody with her korban to offer shlamim? If that's what the Rambam means, there's no evidence whatsoever that that's normative. What does the Rambam mean when he says women are chayiv in this mitzvah of simcha? He just said that the mitzvah is shalmei simcha. Yes, they're our chagiga. So what's the obligation of women? So that's the third problem. Fourth problem. There's another Rambam in source number 8 that seems to go against what the Rambam is saying. So take a look at source number 8. It's in Chagiga, Perek Bet now, Halacha Yud. Yotzin Yisrael, Yidei Chovas, Shalmei Simcha, Binadarim Vinadavos, Uva Maaser Behema. So Yisrael can fulfill his obligation of Shalmei Simcha through Nedarim and Nedavos. Okay. A person made a nether to bring a shlomim or a nedava as a shlomim. Fine, I understand. But it doesn't have to be specifically, it could be a nether or a nedava, fine, as long as it's shlomim. But the Rambam says, uva ma'aser behema, that he could also fulfill it with ma'aser behema. Now, ma'aser behema is not exactly a shlomim. Maybe it's sort of like a shlomim, it's close to a shlomim. Okay, maybe I get that. But then he goes on and he says, "Well, kohanim, machatas, uva asham, uva v'chor, uva chazeh, uva shok." But when it comes to a kohen, he doesn't need shlomim altogether. He could be yotzei with a chatas. He could be yotzei with an asham. He could be yotzei with any basar of a korban that he's given. He could be yotzei with the chazeh v'shok. So, didn't the Rambam say earlier that the mitzvah is shalmei simcha? So how can the Kohen be Yotzei without Shalmei Simcha? He doesn't have to eat Shalmei Simcha. He can eat from his Chatas and he's Yotzei. So how does that work? The Rambam just said in the first parak that the mitzvah of Simcha is to bring Shalmei Simcha, Yeser ala Chaginga. How is the Kohen Yotzei with the Chatas? That's not a Shlomim. Well, how does that work? So again, those are my four questions on their own. First, if the mitzvah of simcha is derived from, or is somehow implied by, or somehow included within the mitzvah of shalmei simcha, then it shouldn't apply as Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. There's no shlomim on those days. Number two. Okay, fine, but given that the Rambam asserts that the mitzvah of this general practice or expression of simcha is derived from shalmei simcha, how? What's exactly the connection? Number three, what is Rambam saying about the obligation of women? They're not obligated in re'iyah. They're not obligated in chagiga. Is he suggesting that they're obligated to send shlamim to Yerushalayim? What exactly is he saying their obligation is? And if it's not shlomim, in what way are they obligated in this mitzvah? Number four, if the mitzvah is shlomim, how can kohanim be yotzei by eating from machatas? I'm not so satisfied with Rambam's comment that a Yisrael could be yotzei with maaser behema. All right, it's close to a shlomim, but machatas is not. Come on, that's like totally different carbon. What are we talking about? So these are my four questions. Okay. So the first step to addressing these issues is, I think when the Rambam says that the obligation is to offer shlamim in addition to the shalmei chagiga, he's making a connection between the two. His point is that the shlomim should be offered to accommodate the requirement of simcha. In other words, the Rambam is not saying that the mitzvah of simcha is to offer shlomim. The Rambam is saying that the mitzvah of simcha is the mitzvah of simcha is expressed through the karbanos by requiring that it be accommodated through offering shlomim. Again, let me just try to say it over a little bit more clearly. The Rambam is not saying that the obligation is to offer Shlomo. What the Rambam is saying is because there's an obligation of Simcha, it gains expression in the korbanos that are offered. In order to accommodate the requirement of Simcha, it's necessary to, the Torah required that we offer in addition to the Chagiga, Yeser al Chagiga, Shalmei Simcha. So there's an underlying requirement of Simcha. There's an underlying requirement of Simcha. Because there's an underlying requirement of Simcha, so that requirement impacts and gains expression in the requirements of the korbanos video. If there were no requirement of Simcha, so then a regel would require an olas re'iyah, would require a chagiga, and that would be all. But because there's an obligation of Simcha, which is expressed, obviously, according to Rambam, through the achila of basar kachin, so you have to accommodate that. How do you make sure that you, your b'nei bayis, your wife, the kohen milvim alav? Rambam goes on to explain later on that when you offer these sacrifices, you have to include people that otherwise would be left out. So in order to accommodate the requirement of Simcha, which in turn requires the achilas basar kachim, you need more korbanos. So the shlamim are required in order to create basar kachim through which you could be yotzei the underlying requirement of a samachta bechagecha, which is to rejoice for achilas basar kachim. So there's an underlying obligation of Simcha, and that underlying obligation of Simcha produces within the regel and its korbanos this additional element of Shalmei Simcha. So it's not that there's an obligation of in other words, the Rambam's not saying that the mitzvah of rejoicing is something that is an extension of the obligation of Shalmei Simcha. What the Rambam holds is that there's an underlying requirement to rejoice, and that in turn produces the obligation of Shalmei Simcha. The key here is to evaluate the relationship between the obligation to rejoice and the obligation to offer these shlamim. The Rambam said in Hilchos Yom Tov, we saw that the obligation to rejoice is included within the obligation of Shalmei Simcha. He does not mean to say it's an extension. He means it's implicit in it, that the entire obligation of Shalmei Simcha would not exist if it were not for the requirement to rejoice on the Yom Tov. Because of the requirement to rejoice on the Moed, so it impacts the korbanos that have to be offered, because those korbanos have to accommodate and they have to satisfy that requirement of rejoicing, which demands a chilas basar kacha. So therefore, you have to offer Shalmei Simcha to accommodate that mitzvah of Simcha. The Rambam, again, does not mean that there's a mitzvah of Shalmei Simcha, and as an extension of that, all other means of rejoicing become obligatory. It's not what he's saying. He's saying that it is implicit in the obligation to offer Shalmei Simcha. Because we offer the Shalmei Simcha because of the fact that there is an underlying requirement of rejoicing on the mullet. Now let's see how that answers our question. So first of all, we asked the question of, you know, first of all, let's go back and see how this answers our question. Excuse me. So the first, so let's start with Let's start with our last question. So our last question was, how can Kohanim and be Yotze by eating a chatas or by eating an asha or by eating any basar that comes to the Kohanim as kach? Because as we explained, the Shalmei Simcha is offered in order to accommodate the mitzvah of Simcha, to make sure that there, to assure that there is basar kachim that could be eaten to fulfill, to in order to create that underlying Simcha that is what's required. But if he eats a chatas, or if he eats an asham, he's also eating basar kachim. It's not that he has to eat basar shlamim per se. It's that the shlamim must be offered so that there's an adequate resource and supply of basar kachim for everyone. But it doesn't mean that that's the basar kachim that a person has to eat. The Rambam says that women are obligated in simcha. He doesn't mean that they're obligated in the hakrovis shlamim. He's not saying that they're obligated to bring shlamim. He's saying they're obligated in the underlying requirement of simcha. So they're not obligated in Riyah, and they're not obligated in Chagiga, but they are obligated in Simcha, because Simcha is not just the akravas of the Shlomim. The Simcha has an underlying requirement that produces the obligation to bring the Shlomim, and that's this general obligation of Simcha. How do the two fit together? The Rambam says that yesh bichlau, also simcha. The Rambam says that the obligation of this general simcha is included in the state, in the obligation to offer the shlamim. So as I've explained, he doesn't mean that it is an extension of it. He means that it underlies it. It's implicit in it. There would not be such an obligation were it not for the underlying obligation to be sameach v'tov lev on yamim tov. So now we're left with the question of the extension of simcha that the Rambam makes to all yamim tovim, not just the ones that have shalmei simcha. So the answer to that question, I think, now is clear. This underlying requirement of simcha is not unique. What the Rambam is saying is not unique to regel. There's nothing about regel that produces this requirement. It's moed that produces it. So anytime you have a moed, this obligation is produced. But because it's produced anytime when there's a moed, so then when you get to a regel, which has these korbanos, it gains expression in the Shalmei Simcha. But it exists even when it's not a regel. When it's not a regel, the obligation still exists. There's nothing special about a regel that produces this obligation of simcha. It's moed that produces. But when there are these korbanos, when there is re'iyah and there is chagiga, and you're in Yerushalayim and there is achilas kachim, so then it produces the obligation, impacts those korbanos and requires shalmei simcha. But since it's not essentially a consequence of regel, it's a consequence of moed. So it applies to Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippurim as well. So the only question there that I think should be asked and needs to be dealt with is the question of, but the Rambam basically is saying that when you are celebrating a regel, so the mitzvah of simcha is not satisfied by eating simply basar. It's basar kachim. What is it about basar kachim that is so special? Why is it that basar kachim has to be the means? The Rambam says on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippurim, where there's no kachim, there's other ways in which the mitzvah of simcha is fulfilled. In Rosh Hashanah, it's through achilas basar, shdiyas yayin, and it doesn't have to be kachim. There's no requirement that it be kachim. It's not kachim. So why is it when it's a regel that it specifically needs to take the form of achilas basar kachim? What is it about kachim that's so special? Okay. Good. All right, so now I'd like to move on to the next point. We're going to leave that question for the moment. We'll come back to it. Let's go on to the next point.
Can I ask you a different question?
Yeah.
Are you saying, is an individual obligated to bring a carbon shlama, shlami simcha?
That when you bring your chagiga, you have to bring a shalmei simcha.
You do.
So how many, the Rambam talks about more extensively, how many korbanos do you have to bring? So the Rambam goes through this in Hilchos Chagiga. Where is it?
One three.
Where are you seeing that?
Shami Simcha Olan Olahen Chacham Shir.
Oh, okay. Oh, I'm looking in the wrong parak. Excuse me. Yeah, right. One second. That's not. Oh, here. If you go to Yud Aleph, so the Rambam says, Mishayilo Ochli Merubim Unechasim Muate. Let's say a person has a lot of participants that need to eat korbanos, that need basar kachim, but he's not a very wealthy person. So maybe Shalmei Chagiga Merubin V'olas Re'iya Mu'at. So he brings, you know, more Korban Chagiga and just one Olas Re'iya. Okay, because you want to spend your limited resources on the Basar Kachim that's going to be eaten. Hayu Ochlin Mu'atin U'nechasim Merubin maybe Olas Re'iya Merubos V'Shalmei Chagiga Mu'atin. But let's say you have a lot of people. But let's say you have a lot of nechosim, so you're wealthy, but on the other hand you don't have a lot of people to consume the korbanos. So then you bring a lot of re'iyos, a lot of olos, right? Because none of that is consumed, and then you decrease the amount of korban shlamim that you bring. Now ze amru, but on this the Chachamim said, Lo yifchos mima la'ola u'shtei kesef l'shlamim, but they did set a limit that you have to bring an ola at least worth a ma'a and shtei kesef for shlamim. V'zeh v'zeh meruba alzeh. Okay, so that's the Rambam doesn't have an exact amount you have to bring, but you have to bring ola, chagiga, and again, those are determined by your particular situation, how many you bring of each. And in addition, there's an obligation of Shalmei Simcha. For Shalmei Simcha, there's no shear. The Rambam explains earlier, but that was the halakha you were referring to. There's no shear for Shalmei Simcha. But there just has to be offered. And again, it's indicative, it communicates the idea that there has to be an accommodation of the requirement of Simcha through this additional carbon that assures that there's an adequate amount of, it emphasizes the necessity of Achilas Basar Kachim for all those who are required and present. Any other questions?
So the Kohen who's going to, let's say, use a Chatas, he's still going to have to bring a Shalmei Simcha?
I don't know. It's a good question. The Rambam only says he's Yotzei with the Chatas. I don't know. I'm guessing not. I'm guessing when the Rambam says that it would not. I don't think he would require it, but I don't know. I'm not sure. He's not clear on that point. So inadequate data from which to form a conclusion. Okay.
Is he, in that case, the last case, Yadav, he has to bring one Shalmei Simcha also? Or can he be Yotzei with the Chagiga?
No, Mistam from the Rambam earlier, he has to bring at least one Shalmei. He has to bring a Shlom.
So why does he bring a lot of Chagigas and one shlamim?
Why does he require more shlamim?
More shlamim simcha.
Why the more shlamim simcha? Yeah, I don't know why the Rambam specifically requires more chagigas. The shlamim simcha would serve the same purpose. I agree.
Right. Right, but you're saying you can't be yotzei with eating the shlamim simcha.
Say what?
You can't be yotzei. Is there a reason why you can't be yotzei with either shalmei simcha?
You mean the chagiga?
Yeah, sorry, the chagiga. Why you're at the chagiga, but you could be yotzei with asham and chatas.
Yeah, it's a good, I don't know. It's a good question. I don't know.
Right. Okay.
Rabbi Fox.
Yes.
Hi. Just a raya for your for the underlying formulation that you had about the mitzvah.
Yeah.
The Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvos, it has the mitzvah of Simchas Yontif, mitzvah Nun Dalet.
Right.
Then at the end of the mitzvah Asay, he has 60 mitzvahs Achreichios that he says apply at all times, that not dependent upon the Beis HaMikdash, not dependent upon, you know, like unusual circumstances. And in the list of 60 is mitzvahs Asay Nun Dalet.
Mm-hmm. Which is Simchas Yom Tov.
Correct.
Right.
So if the formulation was that it starts off with the carbon and then extends, he could not possibly include mitzvahs Asay Nun Dalet in the list of the 60 mitzvahs. But if you have the underlying, what you're saying, if you have the underlying chiyuv of Simcha and then finds expression, then you very well can include Nun Dalet in the 60 mitzvahs.
Mm-hmm. Who's speaking, by the way?
Your friend Saul Zucker.
Oh, okay. Okay. It was a familiar voice. Okay. Okay, let's continue. Thank you. All right.
All right.
So now I want to move on a little bit more into the Rambam's understanding of Simchas Yom Tov. And okay, fine. So, one second. All right, so let's take a look at the Rambam's formulation of this mitzvah. So let's go to source number 10. Because we're going to have to go through a few Rambams over here. And I want to just draw out of this, not a real specific, but more of a general outline of what his understanding is of the formulation, of the nature of this mitzvah. So the Rambam says like this. In Perek, so we're up to Perek Chet in Hilchos Yom Tov. So Halacha, let's start with Halacha Yud Bet. I'm going to just, you know, highlight the points here. So Perek Chet, Simchas Yom Tov. Perek Vav, excuse me. Perek Vav, Halacha Yud Tet. Even though the achil and shtia and the maladas is included in the mitzvah sasei, as we've explained, a person shouldn't eat and drink the entire day. But this is the proper way to do it. But boker, mashkimim, kol am levate chnesios, levate midrashas. In the morning, you get up, you go to shul, go to the base of medrash, you follow in, you daven, karim b'torah, b'inyan yom, you have kriyas haTorah, v'chozun levateyan, and you go back home. V'ochlet, and you eat. V'ochlin levaste medrashas. After you eat, you go back to the base of medrash, karim v'shonin at chatzi yom, and half the day, you engage in Talmud Torah. V'achar chatzi yom, hispalalin, tilas mincha, then you daven mincha, v'chozun levateyan lecho v'lishto shar hayom im alayla. And then you go home and you eat and drink, okay, for the rest of the day until nightfall. Okay. Then the Rambam explains, k'she adam ochel v'shosev v'sameh b'regel lo yimashek b'yayin v'schok v'kalus rosh. Don't think the more you eat and drink, the more mitzvah there is. Because that's just if you eat extensively and you drink extensively, you get drunk and it just becomes you know, a big, it just becomes frivolous, frivolity. It's just an occasion for frivolity. That's not really the Simcha of Yom Tov. That's holiness and sichlus. And that's not what we're commanded in. And then the Rambam explains at the end, Ela Simcha sheyesh ba avodas at yotzer hakol. What are we obligated in? In a simcha that has within it avodas yotzer hakol, the service of the Creator. Shneamar, as it says, Tachat Asher lo avad Hashem lekecha b'simcha v'tu v'lav, that because Hashem is going to punish us as a consequence of not serving Hashem with simcha and with a good heart. Halamadet she'avoda b'simcha. From here you see that avoda is with simcha. V'efsher la'avodas Hashem mitoch schok, lo mitoch kolus rosh, lo mitoch shukur. So if you're just engaged in frivolity or you're drunk, that's not going to be really simcha shanta. So the Rambam is saying over here that this is a simcha that is tied to avoda. It's tied to avodas Hashem. So there has to be, if you're drunk and it's just frivolity, that's not the simcha. It's a simcha that is connected to and related to avodas Hashem. The Rambam comes back to this issue later on in Hilchos Shofar Sukkah V'Lulav at the very end in Perek Ches. Go to the very end. The Rambam talks about this issue. So the Rambam in Perek Ches, in Halacha, starting really in Halacha Yud Bet, the Rambam says, and this you have in Source 11, Aval pi shekol modos mitzvah lismoch behem, v'chaga sukkos haisa sham b'mikdash simcha yisera. In the Mikdash, there was an extensive simcha specifically on Chaga Sukkos. Shenem, as it says, samachta v'nei Hashem alikecha shivas shamim. And then the Rambam goes on to explain the practice of Simchas Beis HaShoeva, which was the Simcha that they created in the Mikdash during Sukkos. And so he explains that in the rest of this Halacha Yud Bet, and then also in Halacha Yud Gimel. Now then the Dalit says, Mitzvah laharbos v'simcha zel. So it's a mitzvah to magnify this simcha. But they didn't allow everybody to participate in the simcha, in the dancing. Rambam explained earlier they used to dance in the Azara, in the Azas Nashim. But they didn't allow everybody to do it. So the Chachamim were the ones who actually engaged in the dancing and in the simcha, the act of simcha, and the Am in general, they were bystanders, they were spectators who observed it. And then the Rambam concludes famously in Halacha Tesvav and Tezayin, until Halacha Tesvav, She'as simcha she'yismach adam basiyas ha-mitzvahs, u'bi avas ekel she'tziva behem, avodah gedol lahi. That the joy that a person experiences in the performance of mitzvahs and in the love of Hashem that commanded them is a great avodah. And anyone who withholds himself from this simcha is deserving of consequences, of punishment. And then again, he quotes the pasuk, that Hashem is going to bring punishments upon Bnei Israel because you did not serve Hashem with joy. And anyone that is haughty and he is concerned about his own kavod, in such instances is a sinner and a fool. And Shlomo basically forewarned us about this, telling us that one should not seek to glorify oneself in front of the God, in front of Hashem, in front of the king. And then the Rambam goes on to continue with this same theme, you know, using David as an example and his conversation with Michal Bas Shaul. She criticized David for his vigorous dancing when they brought, you know, the Sefer Torah to Yerushalayim, and he basically let her have it, and he said that this is the simchas of Avodas Hashem, and that this is the right thing, and you have the wrong idea about how a king should act. Okay, but the Rambam basically explains that this simcha that took place on Sukkot, he begins by saying that even though simcha is a mitzvah on all the moedos, on Sukkot there was a simcha yisera. So it's not, it's part, it's an extension, it's a magnification, it's a more full expression of simchas yom tov. So on Sukkot that took a more full form, okay, and it involved the simchas beis shoeva. But the message that comes out from all of these Rambams, that this is a simcha, it's a celebration of Avodas Hashem. That the nature of the simcha is not just that it's a Yom Tov, and so therefore, I don't know, be happy, but you're rejoicing about something. You're rejoicing about Avodas Hashem and Avas Hashem. And that joy is in itself an expression of avoda, that the joy that a person experiences as an Oved Hashem and an Avas Hashem is in itself an expression of that avoda and ava. So, in other words, when a person feels this joy, so that means that the person does not see the obligation to perform mitzvahs and the restraints that mitzvahs place upon the person, it's not viewed as a burden. But instead, the person takes joy in the opportunity to be able to serve Hashem. It's an expression of Avas Hashem. The person is not doing these mitzvahs because it's a burden that is placed upon one's shoulders, but instead, the performance of the mitzvahs is because it's a privilege to be able to serve Hashem in this way. So the simcha is in itself an expression of Avodas Hashem. So I think with this idea, we could understand a little bit about this idea of Yom Tov and Simcha on Yom Tov. The Yom Tov is a time, any Moed is a time in which we connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All the Moedim are about, in one way or another, our relationship with Hashem. It's a day that's focused on that relationship and is Chatzi L'Hashem, Chatzi L'Chem. So the day is focused on our service to Hashem. The part of the simcha on Yom Tov is a response to that and an expression of that. So it is integral to the Yom Tov, because since the Yom Tov is a day where a person is focused on one's relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so then this state of simcha is requisite to give full expression to that relationship, to demonstrate that that relationship is something that we take joy in. So the simcha and avodas Hashem, they are connected. The simcha when the Rambam describes a Yom Tov as being Chatzi Lachem and Chatzi L'Shem, it's not that the Rambam is saying that the Torah is telling you, you know what, give half the day to God and as reward, you get to celebrate half the day. It's not what it's saying. What it's saying is that you celebrate this relationship with Hashem in two ways. One way is half the day is devoted to Avodas Hashem in the very typical sense in which we understand it, through tefillah, through Limud Torah. But then the other half of the day is expressed through demonstration of the joy that we should feel as a consequence of that relationship. So the Simchas Yom Tov is demonstrative. Okay, it's demonstrating, we're demonstrating how we feel about this relationship, how we feel about this relationship with Hashem. Now, I think that explains why, when it comes to Regalim, the mitzvah of Simcha specifically expresses itself through Achilas Kachim. Because when you eat Kachim, as opposed to regular basar, what happens is that you have a combining of the actual act of Avoda with the expression of Simcha. Because Achilas Kachim is Avoda. So, whereas on Rosh Hashanah, well, Yom Kippur, you're not eating, hopefully. But on Rosh Hashanah, you're going to eat basar, but that is an expression of Simcha. It gives you joy, right? And you're celebrating, right, through Achilas basar and Shtiyas Shayin. But the Achilas not in itself innately in Avoda. But when there is Kachim, so when there's a moed, when there's a regel, that's a moed, when there's a moed, that's a regel, so it produces an impact on the korbanos because you can express this more succinctly and more compactly through Achilas basar kachim. Because in one act, you're combining the avoda with an expression of simcha. So that's why when there's no regel, when it's Rosh Hashanah, so it's Achilas Basar Yisgayin. But when there is a regel, which has korbanos, it specifically takes expression through Achilas Kachim. Okay, so I have now gone for an hour and I am halfway through. So I think that this is a good place to stop. And if you are interested in continuing, so then Rabbi Feder and I will schedule another session. And unfortunately, it will have to be another one of these 11:30s for you. And we will finish, we'll finish the topic and we'll take a look at why Simcha does not, I'll just mention the question. It's based on everything we've said, it's curious that the mitzvah of Simcha, according to Rambam, does not have application to Shabbos. Shabbos is an occasion of Avodas Hashem. It's cool Hashem. So why is there no obligation of Simcha when it comes to Shabbos? Why is Shabbos different? So I'd like to focus on that question. And then I'd also like to focus, as I mentioned in my conclusion, on the mitzvah of Oneg. And Oneg and Kavod apply both to Shabbos, the Rambam says, to Yom Tov also. Are they the same? Do they apply in exactly the same way? Are there any differences both in terms of expression and in terms of objective? So those are the two issues that remain to be dealt with. And if we could, if there's interest, we'll schedule another shiur and we'll cover those topics. Okay. Any questions?
All right.
Yeah.
I don't think.
How are you?
Baruch Hashem, and yourself?
Yeah, Baruch Hashem, good to see you.
Good to see you. I don't think Simchas Yom Tov for the Rambam would include Yom HaKippurim, because he doesn't include Yom Kippur as a Yom Tov.
Why do you say that?
In the very first halacha, in the first parak of Shvi'is Yom Tov, he lists what 6 days are Yom Tov.
Right.
And not including that as Yom Kippur.
Right.
And then also in Shabbos, in the 29th parak, Halacha Yud Chet. He says, "Keshem shemak mekachin b'leil Shabbos, mavdilim b'yotze Shabbos, kach mekachin b'leil Yom Tovim, mavdilim b'yotze Tem, uvem motzei Yom Kippurim."
Okay, it's a good point. Let me think about that. Thank you.
Sure.
On the other hand, let me just point out that Yom HaKippurim is Mevatel Avelos.
That's exactly what I was thinking. Thank you.
Right.
But Elias is making a good point. It's interesting that the Rambam does say that.
Not my point at all. Rebbe pointed out because he said that these 6 days, why does he say these 6 days specifically? Because he just finished with Hilchos Shvi'os with regard to Hilchos Yom HaKippurim, and now he's busy dealing with Yom Tov.
Okay, good. Any other questions? Any other comments? Okay, good. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate this opportunity. It's really a pleasure for me to have an opportunity to speak to this audience, and again, if there's interest, we'll continue and we'll complete the rest of the presentation. So have a great day, and looking forward to maybe at some point seeing everybody in person.
Okay. Thank you. We'll be in touch.
Take care.
Thank you, Fox.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Bye bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. You're welcome, everyone.